This week, I want to leave you with a message before we finish, and it's called Jesus, the Unifying Force. Jesus is the unifying force in our life. Now, when we have everything working together in harmony, everything in one accord, things happen in our life, and they happen quicker, and they happen easier, and they happen in a very peaceful and loving way when everything is in unison. And this is what we want in our life. Now, I remember when I was a kid, growing up on the farm, there was a lot of times where me and my brothers were getting into fights. There wasn't a lot of unity. Everybody wanted to say and do their own thing, and they were running in different directions. And so when that was happening, there was a lot of chaos and commotion in the world. But there were times where we would come together and do amazing things because we worked as one. I remember this one morning in particular. I had gotten up very early, and I was hoping to go to the air show. I wanted my father to take us to the air show. And so I got up really early, and I had to wait around because he wasn't up yet. And I was pacing probably outside his door, hoping that he was going to get up soon. And finally, he did get up, but he said no. He said we could not go to the air show because we had to plant potatoes. Well, planting potatoes in our house wasn't just planting one or two hills of potatoes. We're talking about planting a very large area. And so my heart sunk and dropped, and I just thought, what the heck are we going to do? You know, this is the last day of the air show. They don't have this air show tomorrow. This air show doesn't come around every week. I got to see this air show. And my younger brothers were also hoping that they could see it, but now we found out we were going to have to plant potatoes. So we went out into the garden to start working, and then I started thinking, wait a minute, maybe I can make a deal. And so I went back and I talked to my father, and I said, if we get all the potatoes planted that you want us to plant today, can we go to the air show? Now, I didn't get a big yes. I got a maybe. Maybe we can go. But that was enough for me. I ran back out into the garden, and I organized my two younger brothers, and I said, darn it, I don't know how we're going to do it, because normally it takes a whole day to get these potatoes planted, but we're going to get these planted, you know, very quickly. And so we got all the seed potatoes ready, and I started digging holes. You know, and I would line up the string, and I'd begin digging just hole after hole after hole. And I'd assign my youngest brother, he put the seed potato into the hole, and then my other brother would cover the hole. And we went down, you know, sometimes the other brother was covering so fast, the younger one didn't have a chance to get a seed potato in there. So I had to slow him down a little, because I said, if the potatoes don't get in there, we haven't planted them. And so we went down row after row after row like a well-oiled machine. Man, we were working in unison. We were of one accord. We were of one purpose. And I don't know how we did it, but in a very short time, every single potato that needed to be planted was in the ground. And we were running over to my father to say, we're done. And so he hummed and he hawed for the longest time, but finally he did take us to the air show. So we got to see that air show. But that wouldn't have happened without us working in harmony. Now, notice what brought us into that unity. We had a common vision. We had a common goal. And we had somebody that was leading us. It was me. And as a result of that, each one of us knew our task. We had different tasks, notice. We had different tasks, but it was all for the same purpose. And so we were able to accomplish this great mission or purpose by working together. Now, if we would have been trying to do it on our own, individually, we would have never got it done as quickly, and we would have never gotten where we need to go. So I want to bring us back to Jesus is that unifying factor in our lives. And I'm going to talk in more depth about that, but let's first take a look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. This is Paul again. I'll be talking about Paul again a lot like we did last week. We're going to kind of continue on a little bit from that. Here's what Paul says. And this is in verse 4. He says, There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So Paul makes it very clear that there's only one God, there's one spirit. Now, if we all receive that one spirit, now suddenly we all start to come into that unity. Let's read something else here too, because there's something else happening, or else that would happen a lot quicker. And this is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. And it says, this is talking about Jesus, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace. Now, it's talking about he made one man out of two. What are the two men that he's talking about? It's talking about, as Paul refers to it, the inward man and the outward man. Or it could be talking about the physical man and the spiritual man. And we've got these two parts of ourself. And what's happening, now, if you remember back to what I was talking about last week, and this was a big one. I was talking about how there are rulers of darkness or forces that are unseen that are speaking into us and giving us thoughts and emotions and making us do things we don't want to do. Remember, Paul was talking last week. There are things that I do not want to do, and that's the stuff that I do, and there's stuff that I do want to do, but I don't do that. And he came to realize that he's not doing what he wants to do because there is something else making him do what he does not want to do. We talked about this last week. Well, now we're taking a look not at the outside forces, but what the effect is that it has on the inside of us. So what it does to the inside of us as these outside forces are working on us, because there are rulers of darkness, but there are also angels and heavenly hosts that God is sending to help us stay in balance so that we don't go completely crazy. So this is what's happening on the outside. But on the inside, we have these two parts of ourselves. There's that lower physical part, and that physical part sees the things of the rulers of darkness a lot easier. It sees from the senses, the physical senses, and as a result of that, what is it listening to? It's quite often listening to the things we don't want to do, and it's being lured into doing the things we don't want to do. Now, our spirit, the other half of ourselves, is looking up to God, and it is seeing the things of God and the things of creation and the things that we can do in our life that are in alignment with our purpose and our true self. But because we have these two opposing forces being manipulated, really, by two outside entities, we are now warring within ourselves. So within yourself, there is a war going on between your physical self and your spiritual self. And the two of them are fighting all the time, which means there is no peace in you. There is no peace when you have that in your life. And as a result of that, we have this battle going on. And you meet people in the world all the time. Liza was talking about somebody that was very unhappy. And you know when you meet them that they're having a battle within themselves. And in fact, this lady said as much. She said that she was noticing there's something else that she wanted to do. And yet she's doing what she didn't want to do. She was tired of doing it. She was sick of doing it. And she needed something new to do. But she didn't know what it was yet, because she hadn't fully opened to understanding what the Spirit was doing. Now, the unifying factor is Jesus that starts to come in and bring these two together. As we read here in Ephesians 2:15, he is making those two one now. He is bringing both the physical and the spiritual now into alignment, into harmony. And as it said here, thus making peace. So no longer are we fighting and warring against the two sides of ourselves. They now get into that unifying force Jesus brings into us, and we now have peace in our hearts. And so this is what's happening when we bring him in there. And we can read a little further here. Let's read in Ephesians 2:19. This is Paul again. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now he's talking about strangers and foreigners. Now on the one hand, what Paul was talking about, as I said, he was talking about these two parts of ourselves, our spiritual and our physical being brought into harmony. But he is also talking about something very practical, even in this time, but at his time too. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles no longer being separate, but being unified in the same temple, in the same house, meaning they are worshiping the same God and they are filled with the same Spirit. And this is why he is talking about one Spirit, one God, one hope. He is talking about this building that Jesus was the cornerstone, meaning Jesus is the foundation of that unity between both the Jews and the Gentiles. There is no separation, or there shouldn't be. Once you receive Jesus into your heart, that is, when you receive Jesus, he's the unifying force that brings together these two parts. Now, in tradition, the Jews would have nothing to do with the Gentiles. They would not eat with them. They would not speak to them. They didn't live with them. They lived in a separate town or a separate village. This was what they were taught, and it's because they were under this law that God had given them, and they were to keep themselves pure, that they kept following that. And the Gentiles, meanwhile, they worshipped all kinds of idols and all kinds of gods, and they didn't know about this one God at that time. And so there was also this strife or this division between these two. But once Jesus came, he is that unifying factor that is bringing these two separate nations together as one. And once we receive Jesus, then we should be under that one Spirit, that one God. Let's read that again. This is Ephesians 4, 3, verse 4, excuse me. Therefore, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So he's talking about that unifying factor that Jesus is that brings us all into harmony. And that means for you that everybody that receives Jesus into their heart, they are unified within themselves, meaning you have greater peace. I still remember the day very clearly where I received Jesus into my heart and the Holy Spirit came upon me. And on that day, what I remember the most vividly is the feeling right after that happened of peace. Suddenly, for the first time that I can remember in my whole life, my brain felt calm and my heart felt so open and peaceful. And I never felt such a calmness and such a relaxation in my entire life. I felt incredible. And I know, as I read what Paul is writing about here, I know that what I was experiencing and really noticing for the first time was that unity. That now suddenly no longer was my physical part and my spiritual battling and warring against each other, but they had been brought together in this peace that Jesus brings when you invite him into your heart. And that is how we have peace in the world too, by each individual receiving Jesus. And you have to do that of your own free will when you want, not somebody. Somebody can't make you do that. It doesn't work like that. And that's not the way God asks us to do it. But he did provide for us already 2,000 years ago. He provided a peace plan that would bring that harmony into us the minute we invite his Spirit. Remember, Jesus is God walking on the earth, so that now he opened a door so that when we receive Jesus, we can receive the Spirit of God on the inside. And that is what brings that peace into our heart. And now we have that unity under the one God, under the one Spirit, under the one hope. That's what we now have. And you start to see that in the world too, if each person does their part of that plan. Now, see, if we look down a little further, we see in Colossians 1:21, this is the state that many of the people are in. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled you. So this is talking about Jesus reconciling us again, bringing us back to God. Before, when we were healing the rulers of darkness, that physical part of ourself, and what Paul calls that is the flesh. He talks about it in the flesh, and sometimes when you hear the word flesh, you start to wonder, what is he talking about? And you get confused. But he's talking about that part of us that's led by our physical senses. So what we see, what we hear, what we speak, these are the things that are leading us on in a physical way, in the physical world. And often, this is what is hearing the rulers of darkness telling us what we should do. And so we follow them. But we really want to be listening in our spirit to God so that he can be telling us who you are, who you were created to be, what you're capable of, the amazing things that you can do because God has created you amazing. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So here we have this, as he's saying, we were alienated, meaning we were separated from God by following those rulers of darkness. By listening to the physical senses only, we were now separated from God because God is speaking the things of the spiritual and he wants to lift us up to a greater height. And we see here in Galatians 5:16, and this is Paul speaking again, that I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's talking about the body again, remember? So he says, walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. So he's talking about that war or that conflict that I was talking about. There is that battle going on. They're against each other. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Uh-oh, he's starting again. You don't do the things you wish again. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Now we're talking about something a little further. I was talking about the unifying force of Jesus. But what I'm now saying, remember what we talked about last week? I said that none of you live a life according to your own. And he says that in Romans 14. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Meaning something else is always leading you and showing you and telling you what you should be doing. And now, what's happening is, and that's the way we were created. There's always something that's guiding us. So it's either something that's good that's guiding us or something that's bad that's guiding us. It's either something that's leading us forward or something that's leading us backwards. It's either something that's for our best or something that's for our worst. But there's always something leading us. We're not our own, is what he is saying there. And on this token, if we go back to this verse I just read, he is now saying that when we receive Jesus, we actually are becoming Jesus. He's saying, I have died to my old self, meaning that old me that was divided and following two different things has died. And now I am born as a new creature. And he is talking about that creature, that creature is now Jesus. He has become Jesus, is what he is saying. And this is the Spirit that is now upon him, and this is how he is led. So that old part is dead, and the new one has begun. And if I read that last part from verse 19 in Galatians 5, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. Live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. Remember, there was a trading places moment. I talk about this all the time. That everything God did through Jesus was for trading places. For you to trade places with him. So he was crucified for the things that you were lacking. So that you wouldn't have to go through that. So he's saying, I died. Paul is saying, I died or was crucified. Now, Paul was not crucified, but he is saying that through what Jesus did, he was. And that's true. All of us were. And so as a result of that, he has died to his old way, and now he lives in that new way. So there's a trading places moment because he has taken on Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' perfection, power, authority, goodness, connection with God, only hearing God. He has taken that on now, and he has let all that other stuff go, It's died. It's dead. It's no longer his, and it's not him. Remember, it's not me. But Christ lives in me, he's saying. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So he is now speaking, how do we get that unity into our life? He is talking that it is by faith. How do we unify the physical and the spiritual? Yes, we invite Jesus into our heart. We have the Spirit of him on the inside now. The Spirit of God dwells now within us. But now we walk by faith. Meaning we walk by the promises of God, what God promised and said that we would do, not by what we see. So we're no longer going to be walking by the physical senses. I don't mean close your eyes and go out into the street and walk into traffic. But we are now being led in our life and the things we want to do and what our purpose is. We are led not by our physical senses of what we think is good and great, but what the Spirit is telling us. So now the Spirit is leading us to a greater life. The Spirit is leading us in a different way. And we are walking by faith, meaning we know what God promised and said we could do, and we believe that by faith. We are believing that. And by believing what God said, we are acting in alignment with what he told us, who we are. Who God said you are today, you start acting like that right now. You start living like that right now. You start being that person right now. So Paul is saying that by faith, he has unified the physical and the spiritual, and they're now one. Because if we still were walking by the physical, we would still have a split, you see? But we're not going to believe the things of the physical, we're going to believe the things of God. We're going to believe what God said. We're not going to believe the things of the world. We're going to believe what God said, the promises of God. Promises of God were already fulfilled completely and totally. He has already given you all those things. You have to receive them, and you receive them by faith. You unify within yourself by faith, and as speaking in faith and walking in faith and living in faith, now those two sides are unified and you have peace. You have peace in your life. And this is how those outside forces now no longer have any power over you. You have power over them. Amen. Never fear them. Never fear them, because they have no power over you. You have power over them, because this is the authority that God gave you when you received Jesus into your heart. You have the power and the authority over all the things of the world. Let's go down a little further. So he is saying, as I was saying here, he becomes Christ. He has taken on Christ, and he talks about this a lot, Paul does. He says here in 1 Corinthians 2:16. So I'm wanting you to kind of start thinking here, start seeing yourself as, I am Christ. I have become him. Why? Because he became you. When he was on the cross, he took all the mistakes, all the sins, all the shortcomings, all of the iniquities of yours. He took them onto himself. Why? So that you could receive his righteousness, so you could receive his blessings, so you could receive and be perfect in all ways. And so there's a trading places moment here. So you have to start seeing yourself. This is who you are. When I say walk by faith, now you begin to believe that's who you are. You begin to see yourself that way. You begin to walk that way, think that way, talk that way, act that way, live that way in all that you do. So here in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, this is verse 16, For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ is what he is saying here. Now, remember I talked some weeks ago how we have a spirit and a soul, and in the soul is the mind. And the mind lives of the things of the, often it has old ideas, false ideas in it, and even though we receive a new spirit when we receive God, quite often we still have that old soul, that old mind, and it needs to be renewed. We get the mind of Christ by delving into the Word of God, by digesting that, receiving that totally and completely in all ways. As we continue to read the words of God, speak the words of God, think the words of God, now we have the mind of Christ. Christ means, if you have forgotten, it means the anointed one. It's not Jesus' last name. It means the anointed one. And when you receive him, you become the anointed. You are the anointed because you've received the anointed one. Okay? So we can have that mind. And that's the mind we want to have. And that mind is renewed through faith by speaking the words of God, reading the words of God, getting them into your heart, not just memorizing them, but really having a knowingness of them, meditating on them, letting God kind of reveal to you what it means and how it works in amazing ways. And that also now gives you that freedom. Paul speaks in Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Who's the old man? The old man was that part that was split. The old man was that part that was warring against himself. That old man was disconnected from God. So don't do the things that the old man did, like lying, he is saying. And have, so let's go back to that. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. You no longer do that. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Who created him? God. We were created in God's own image, in the likeness of God. We were created male and female. We were created, right? So we were created in the image of God. And that's the who is renewing our minds. As we speak the words of God, our knowledge is renewed. Our mind is renewed. So now we have the mind of Christ. So not only have we taken on his spirit and we have become him, our minds are being renewed to him. We have the knowledge of him who created us, which is the knowledge of God. That's a lot of wisdom right there if we have the knowledge of God. And it says in Colossians 2:10, and you are complete in him. What's lacking if you're complete? Nothing is lacking if you're complete, meaning you have all things that you need. You are equipped to live in this world abundantly. You are equipped to live in this world blessed. You are equipped in all ways to do amazing things. You are complete in him. Who is the head of all principalities and powers. So you are complete in him who has the power and authority over all things. And that's talking about Jesus. And when you receive him, now you have the power in his name. By his name, you have that power. It says here in Philippians 2:9, therefore God also has highly exalted him, they're talking about Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God. So it is saying here that the name of Jesus, because he conquered all the darkness and all the falsity, because he even conquered even death and did all that, that now he is the authority and that his name is above every name. And that what that means is that he's got the authority over all things. That means there is no name that is higher than his name. There's no name that has higher authority. Now, if you think about that, think about the stuff that has names in your life. You have a name, but also we give names to problems. We give names to diseases. We give names to our cars sometimes. We give names to, you know, our bosses, all kinds of names behind their back. But no matter what name they have been given on this earth, when we have that name of Jesus, when we are walking in that light, we are above and have greater authority, because it says here that every knee has to bow to Jesus. That means every single problem in your life. It doesn't matter whether you call it poverty or you call it debt or you call it sickness or you call it anxiety or you call it depression. Those are all names. It doesn't matter what name you have given the problem. It says that every single one of those has to bow. It has no power over him. And when we have his mind in us and his spirit in us, we now have power over it, and we now conquer it. We are victors because he already won that victory, and we receive that victory in Jesus' name. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You are victors.
Amen.
And so, down here in Romans 13, 14, Paul again is saying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 3, 27, he says, For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You have put on Christ. Have you ever thought about that before? It's like we have a big Jesus suit and we're putting our arms in. We're getting all, oh, I've put on Christ. And that means when we go out into the world, we are seeing ourselves and acting and speaking as Christ, as Jesus. The Anointed One is speaking and acting. Why? Because we have that same power on the inside. He had the Spirit of God on the inside. We have the Spirit of God on the inside. He was unified in who He was through only speaking to God, not hearing the rulers of darkness. We have been unified now. Say, I am unified.
I am unified.
So you are speaking only to God. You only are seeing in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. You're walking by faith. So you are putting on Jesus. You're putting on Christ, the Anointed One. You're putting on the anointing when you got into the world. The anointing is that Spirit, the Spirit of God. Remember, we've talked about this, the power that comes upon you to heal, change situations, to bring that kind of power. You are putting that on every time you go out. That's who you are. Because remember, you're not of your own. So you might be looking in the mirror and thinking, well, I know who I am. Well, now we know who you are. You have to be seeing that very same image in the mirror. You have to be seeing yourself in the way that God speaks about you, not what your parents said about you, not what somebody else said about you or your teacher said about you or your spouse said about you. You're not seeing yourself in that way. You've got to see yourself according to the way that God has sees you and what God has said. Because once we put on Christ, how does God see us? He sees us as perfect. He sees us as righteous. He sees us as His children. We are now sons and daughters of God. We are heirs, meaning that we are now set up to receive His all of His blessings and all of His rewards. And He has laid that out for us already. And that's what happens when we put on Christ. And we should put it on and keep Him on all the time. Don't take Him off. Put Him on. He's good for all seasons. He's a good outfit for the summer, and He's a good outfit for the winter and the spring and the fall. Amen. It doesn't matter whether it's raining or it's snowing. He's good for it, so keep Him on. Put Jesus on and keep Him on all the time. I know some people, they put Him on when they're in church, and they take Him off when they go out with their friends. No, keep Him on all the time so you have that anointing on you so that you walk in the way that God said you were so that you are blessed in all ways. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, so today, just to kind of summarize what we're talking about, is the unifying factor that is Jesus, that when we bring Him into our lives, He unifies us in our spirit and our body so that we are one. He unifies us in the world so that nations are not warring against one another, but that we are all unified under Him. And He brings a peace into our life like nothing you've ever seen before. As I said, there was never anything, you know, greater than that peace that came into my life when I received Jesus into my heart. And when we have Him, we put Him on, we keep Him on, and we walk in the world in all ways, all times, all seasons. We walk with Jesus. We are Him. We have become Him. And we have the mind of Christ, even as Paul says. Say amen to that.
Amen.